Well, once again, welcome to Hoboken Grace. If this is your first time with us, I just want to echo what Jason said earlier. We hope that you feel right at home. For those of you watching online, you probably are at home, so maybe just make some pancakes, scrambled eggs, and enjoy today's conversation. For those of you who don't know me, my name is John Carlos, and I am the whitest Puerto Rican you will ever meet. I know it's supposed to be followed by a title and a position, but I thought I'd give you a more important fact. And if you don't believe me, I just came back from 2 weeks vacation in Puerto Rico, actually went to the beach this time, and you still can't tell where my shirt ends and where my neck starts. That's how white I am. But why are we here? We're not talking about my paleness. We're talking about God and who He is. And last week, we started off the conversation talking about how this year can be the best year ever. How we can live out to our full potential in 2013. And we said that our culture plays into that with this idea of resolutions and doing something different and changing, but that for the most part, those resolutions have to do with something that we need to change, an action that we need to do, versus becoming someone or thinking of these things as who we want to become. And so Chris spent a good time just breaking that down, how the images that we pursue and our imagination play into who we want to become. And he talked about three specific things that if we were to have an incredible year, live out to our full potential, that we needed to change our perspective on those things. And the three things he said was, number one, I need to trust God for truth. In other words, God needs to be the source of our truth. Not all of these other outlets and the media or the magazine at the grocery store that you pick out at last minute, but God. He is the one who is to inform us of the things that we need answers to. And so we should trust Him for that truth. The second thing he said was, I must embrace Christ as the image I am pursuing. So Christ should be who we want to become like. The image that we're supposed to be pursuing is Christ. And the last thing he said was, I control what I allow to inform my imagination. So this idea that we're bombarded with tons of information, tons of things on a daily basis, and it's our choice and our act of controlling those that will also allow us to pursue that who we want to become and that new dream for this year. And I think for me personally, the biggest question coming out of last week was relating to that second one. I become like Christ. But what does becoming like Christ mean? I mean, if you've been to church for a while, or heck, if it's your second time at church, you've probably heard that before. That phrase, you've heard it. But if you were to ask someone who calls themselves a church person or a follower, right? So how do I start off on this journey, and what does church and God look like? Their answer would probably be like, become like Christ. But what does that even look like? Does it mean that I let my hair grow, or that I find 12 guys, just random 12 guys? Hey guys, follow me. From now on, the rest of my life, you guys are going to follow me, stalk me. Is that what it means to become a follower of Christ and become like Him? Because I have tons of other very clear visuals of who I want to become like. Gordon Gekko in Wall Street. I have this dream that I'm going to share with you. You've probably had it too. That it's just like raining money. And in the background, all you can hear the song is money, money, money. And if you get into it, you probably start dancing too, right? Because that's something that we kind of are pursuing. It's a very, very visual image of who I want to become. Or maybe it's Maximus in Gladiator. The guy's just a stud. Like, no one's going to mess with him. Some days, I really think I should be like him and want to be like him. Or like William Thacker in Notting Hill. And you're probably like, I didn't even know guys watch Notting Hill. Well, I do. It's the most amazing romantic comedy ever. And the guy's name is William Thacker. Right? But he's funny, he's humble, and he ends up with the dream girl. I know that's far-fetched for some of the guys, so maybe it's Alex in Hitch. Or Michael Jordan, we all want to be like Mike. Or Ferris Bueller or Rocky Balboa. All of these images that are very clear. And yet, if for some of you, you have those same characters or people that you look up to. So what I want to do is for just 30 seconds for you to pull out your notes card that's in your program that you got, or if you didn't get one, just on your phone, jot down some of those people, some of those names that you look up to. Maybe it's for strength. There's someone that you just look at and you're like, yes, I want to be like that person. Or success or beauty. Just jot those down for 30 seconds. Ready? Go. Cool. Well, if I can't look at all of your notes card, but I'm sure if I took some random ones, there would be some pretty exciting and cool people on there that everyone would be just unanimously like, yes, that person is incredible. And so in light of those characters and those images that we pursue, if we're honest, this idea of becoming like Christ or who Christ is can sound kind of boring. And if I were to ask you to tell me what image comes to mind when I say that, what you would probably do what I do, which is Google it, because I don't think that much anymore. I just Google everything. That's where I get my answers. But this is what would come up if you Google Jesus. If you're at home, just Google it on your computer. But top left-hand corner, you have Buddy Jesus, and the bottom right corner, you have Star Wars meets Christ, which I have no clue what those two are doing on there, but for the most part, the rest of those images are actually how Christ has been portrayed for centuries. And besides them being false images, culturally speaking, if you look at that, who would aspire to be like that? He looks soft. He has this glowy thing going on, a radioactive aura. He looks weak, unassuming, purposeless, passionless, unrelatable, boring. But if you look closely, if you pull back all the years of misrepresentation and interpretation of who Christ was, and you truly look at him, everything changes. Everything changes. You see, Christ was charismatic. Everyone wanted to be around him. Thousands of people would show up just to hear him speak. He wasn't just charismatic and people were following him. He was powerful and fearless. In Mark 4, we hear the story. He's with the disciples on a boat in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, and he's sleeping. And then there's this raging storm that starts up, and the waves are crashing. The disciples start screaming like teenage girls, "Oh my God, we're going to die," and whatever, right? But he's sleeping. And they're like, "Wake him up, wake him up." They wake him up, and he's like, "Guys, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." And he tells the storm to stop. And the storm stops. Powerful. Jesus was powerful. And he was incredibly wise as well. In John 8, we read where the religious leaders, also called Pharisees, they were trying to trick him all the time. But in this instance, they bring a woman that had committed adultery. And they tell him, "Our law, the Jewish law, says if a woman commits adultery, we are to stone her. What do you have to say?" And very quickly he answered, "You're right. That is what the law says. So whoever amongst you has committed no sins, has done nothing wrong, you cast the first stone." What wisdom, right, to answer with that. He was also incredibly lighthearted. And what I mean by that is that he wasn't serious all the time. These religious leaders were trying to trick him all the time. And in one instance, they asked him, "So people are saying that you're the king. Who should we pay our taxes to?" And so he said, "Well, I don't have time for these games. Does someone have a coin?" Someone probably flicked him a coin. He caught it. This is how I visualize the stories. And he looked at the coin and he said, "Whose face is on this? Caesar's? Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's," and probably flick the coin back. But he was lighthearted, full of love, peaceful, caring. That is who Christ really was if we were to remove that veil that we've been carrying for years and years of who he was. But that still doesn't answer, how do I become like Christ? So will you guys read with me in Philippians 2, 1 through 8? Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. How? How do we become like him? We become servants. If we want to live out our full potential, it means that we become servants. And I know that as I read that, for some of you, you're just starting off on this journey and it's hard to believe what those words say, but I want you to re-listen, just reread those words for 1 second. Though he was God, he gave up his divine privileges and became human for you and for me. Believe that just for an instant. Can you grasp that? The magnitude of that statement, that God Almighty came, gave that up for you and for me, so that, like Jason was saying, it doesn't matter where we've been or what we've done, we get an opportunity at a relationship with him. And all the wrongdoings that we've done, he takes upon himself. How does he do that? By becoming a servant. And the thing is that he didn't just come and serve. He became a servant. And there's a difference between that. Some of us choose to serve, but don't really see ourselves as servants. See, one has a positive connotation. The other one can carry a negative one. One has to do with an action that we take, and the other one is who we are, our character. One is short-lived. The other one is a permanent state. And I want to read this really quickly, and I want you to jot it down, because I think it's very important that we understand the difference between just serving and becoming a servant. Someone who serves is exhibiting a momentary action or trait. A servant is exhibiting their character. Christ served because it was who he was. He was a servant. A lot of us choose to serve, but haven't decided to become servants. And what does a servant look like? See, servants give everything. They give up everything. He gave up everything. His equality with God, he gave it up. And servants do the same thing. Servants, they don't weigh the pros and the cons. They're all in. And it says in the passage that we read that Christ, when he became human, he obeyed God's word. And so the same is true for us. Instead of analyzing, it means that we just are all in. We follow Christ. I remember when I first started out at Hoboken Grace, started attending. Back then, I worked in the finance industry. And so on the weekends, I'd just come in and help out for a few hours. And I asked them, so what can I help out with? And the first thing they said, oh, we need help, you know, a couple hours before the service starts. We need help with setting up the chairs and whatnot. They didn't tell me it was these ginormous picnic tables, like 16 feet long, and you had to fold them up and they'd still be super big. And these things were out to kill me, because when you would start rolling them, the wheels would just pop out of the blue and come crashing down. And so it was either jump or die. And I jumped plenty of times. Thankfully, I'm still here. But they fell on me some other times. And so I did that for a while. And then they were like, you know what? We don't like you that much, but we don't want you to die either. So why don't you join the sound team? And I was like, yes, I'll do that. I didn't tell them that I am tone deaf. I can't sing and clap at the same time. I don't know any songs by memory. Not Mary Had a Little Lamb. Not Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill. That's as far as I get in that song. And when I sing at home, even my 2-year-old says, shh, Dad, No singing. No singing. He can't take it. After a while, doing the sound thing, they noticed that I definitely wasn't very talented in that area. And so they asked me, oh, can you just help us and will you join staff? And I was like, yes, I've made it big time, right? I'm going to be on staff. That's very cool. They neglected to say that I wouldn't have a title or any responsibilities and that the meetings were at 6 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. And I was like, that is not cool. And not having a title and responsibilities means that you pretty much come to the meeting and listen and have no opinions. And that lasted for like 3 months. And you're asking yourself, how does that relate to what you're saying? Well, you see, at the beginning, when I first started, it was just a piece of who I was. Just putting in my time, a few hours on a Sunday morning, afternoon. Just something that I did. Something that I could put on my resume or tell my friends about. But as time progressed, I noticed that, you know what, I don't just want this to be something that I do. This is who I want to become. I want to become a servant. And yes, it meant that I was tired on Monday morning, and I was tired during the day on Tuesdays, and on Thursdays if dinner group went a little long as well. But I realized that I was being a part of something so much bigger. And I haven't arrived by any means. Please don't think that by the story that I'm telling. I haven't arrived, but it means that every single day I have to choose to become a servant. When I wake up, I decide that I want to be a servant at home, at work, and on the street with random strangers who can just drive us crazy. And I choose that I want to be a servant. I want to be like Christ. Because Christ knew that this maybe wasn't going to happen overnight for all of us, but it was a decision that we can make over time and work at. And he knew that true leadership wasn't about wielding power. It was about becoming a servant. So how might this play out for you? For some of you, it means that you start saying yes to things that you don't want to do and saying no to things that you do want to do. For example, maybe someone's been asking you to join the setup team and wake up at 6 in the morning to be here every single Sunday and help us with setup. Not as something that you do, but as part of becoming a servant. You see it as a tool in your formation to becoming a servant. For others, it means that you need to stop weighing the pros and cons. You see, if you're like me, you've probably overanalyzed and thought of, okay, am I giving too much? Am I getting a good return on what I'm giving? How much can I give God without, you know, letting go of full control, but getting the blessing that I need? You know, that is how our mind works all the time. So instead of weighing the pros and cons, you say, you know what? I'm in. I'm surrendering. I'm letting go of this control, and I am trusting God. I want to be like him. And you know what? You're probably saying, wait, that's exactly what I want to avoid. I don't want to be tired. I don't want to let go of all of these things that I've worked so hard for. But if you realize who our God is, if you realize who our King is and what he's done for us and how he blesses each and every one of us, you understand that it's actually better. And Christ says, this is the best way. This is the best option. The world says, hey, servants get taken advantage of. They get beat up, run over. That's what a servant's life looks like. But who will you trust? Will you trust God? Or will you trust everyone else and all those other voices? Christ is saying, this is what I want most for you. It's the best way. Not only is it the best way, it's a path to joy. I want to read in Hebrews 12:2, it says this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor besides God's throne. Because of the joy awaiting him. And that same joy is awaiting each and every one of us. Yes, we'll be beaten up. Yes, we might get run over. But you know what? At the end of the day, that brokenness, that pain, that suffering, that will be gone. And we will get to enjoy with Christ and at his side everything, the fullness of who he is and what he's done for us. It's a path to joy. not only a path to joy, it's a path to success. In Matthew 20, 24 through 28, it says this, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. The backstory to this is that James and John's mom kind of stepped across the line and told Jesus, hey, can you make them your favorite, you know, the teacher's pet? Can they have like a special place up when they get back up in heaven? And obviously the other 10, when they heard that, were a little ticked off. But look what Jesus said. Oh yeah, they can have that. It says, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man, for even Christ, came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom. Came not to be served, but to serve others. And that's the same calling that we're called to. True leadership is serving those around us, seeing ourselves as servants to them, giving everything we have to make sure that they see who God is through us. So today, this year, take that leap of faith. Embrace a new image. Decide that, like Christ, you want to choose to become a servant. And you'll realize your full potential this year if you choose that. Would you guys pray with me? Father, I thank you so much that, like we've read, you did not regard what was yours, equality with God, your privileges as something to cling to, but that you gave it all. I know it's so hard to comprehend, to grasp, but I just pray that today we understand that your love is so great. And that if we choose to follow you in the midst of all the hardship, all the things that we might encounter, we will find joy. We do have joy. We'll get to experience true success. Dad, and I know that in my own life, the moments wherein I've been most tired, even sick, on a missions trip, helping other people, you've spoken into my heart. And I've experienced you like never before. So I pray that we hold on to that truth. That our full potential is possible. It's possible as we continue to decide not to simply serve, but to become servants. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.